This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Officials of the International Red Cross believe the situation in Gaza is growing even more desperate as Israel continues its attacks on the enclave. Spokesman Tomasa Della Longa says it's tough to know what's actually happening there.
There are a number of people missing or number of people that are under the rubble simply because no one is able to access those areas. So it's even difficult to get a proper picture of the scale.
Doctors and nurses at one hospital in northern Gaza that has no electricity are caring for 36 newborns. CBS's Deborah Pata says among the victims in Gaza are people who are trying to help the Palestinians.
These aid workers are trying to work in a situation where there is no food, there is no water, there is no power, and more than 100 have died in just 5 weeks, and that's just the United Nations. There are other aid organizations as well.
The U.S. has launched another deadly airstrike in Syria on facilities linked to Iran after attacks on bases housing U.S. troops in Syria and Iraq. CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon says the U.S. strikes could have been worse.
The U.S. has 2 aircraft carriers and dozens of jet fighters in the region. So they are clearly capable of carrying out much more damaging attacks than what it has so far.
The U.S. Supreme Court now has a code of ethics, says CBS's Jan Crawford.
This is the code of conduct that people have said the Supreme Court needs to do. They've been considering doing it for years. I mean, I've heard them talk about this for years up here, and now they're saying, okay, here you go. It's basically what we had to do when we were federal appeals court judges, and that's what we've been doing all along.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says arson is to blame for the fire this weekend that has forced the indefinite closure of part of busy Interstate 10 in Los Angeles. CBS's Carter Evans is there.
This weekend is shaping up to be Carmageddon. We've got the UCLA-USC game, the Kings are playing, and ironically, it's opening weekend at the LA Auto Show, and all of it's happening just a couple of miles from this freeway disaster.
House Speaker Mike Johnson's plan to extend government funding beyond Friday is already being rejected by some of his fellow Republicans, including Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I think it's a failure. I'm not voting for a clean CR. I'm not carrying on Nancy Pelosi's budget. I'm not carrying on all the woke policies and the failures and the excessive spending that the Democrats set forth. I think we should be holding the line.
Johnson can only afford to lose 4 Republican votes before he has to turn to Democrats to help keep the government funded. The Dow closed up fractionally. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 96 people in Wisconsin died from domestic violence last year. That's the highest number in 22 years. Those numbers are from the group End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Some social workers tell the State Journal they're worried the situation will get worse with looming cuts to federal victim resource funding. There might be trouble ahead for efforts to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. The state Senate votes Tuesday on an amended bill to pay for maintenance at American Family Field. But as of Monday night, not enough senators support it to pass. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard.
We believe that we can improve upon the bill, and we're going to continue doing everything that we can to make sure that the state of Wisconsin is getting the best deal possible.
That's Agard on Upfront on WISN-TV in Milwaukee. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Basketball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Milwaukee Bucks and Chicago Bulls at 5-serve form. The Bucks are 5-4, the Bulls 4-6. Milwaukee coming off back-to-back losses on the road to the Pacers and the Magic over the weekend. Marquette's basketball team goes up a notch, now ranked 4th in the nation. They'll be on the road tomorrow night to take on number 23-ranked Illinois. College football head coach Luke Fickell upset with what he describes as a complete breakdown of the Badgers football team after losing to Northwestern at Camp Randall 24-10. The Wildcats continue their search for a new head coach, and one of the candidates they have in mind is former Badgers coach Paul Chryst. Baseball, at a press conference in Chicago, Craig Counsell introduced as the new manager of the Cubs. Council says he didn't realize how upset Brewers fans would be.
I underestimated that reaction for sure. Miscalculation on my part for sure.
That's Cubs manager Craig Council. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here in the overnight. Light south winds and temperatures down around 34 degrees at daybreak. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine, though, working in on Tuesday. That south breeze up around 35, the high 60. Cooler on Wednesday, sunny and up to 58. It's 30 at our studios.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Monday edition. Back to work. Back to work, Dom.
Back to work, Rudy. Happy Monday to you. As always, Nate working the board. Thank you for your hard work and our fair audience. Happy, happy Monday to us all.
Well, Dominic, let me tell you about my weekend. It was a simpler time then.
Yeah.
You know, the Veterans Day, first and foremost, happy Veterans Day to those that observe.
Yes, happy Veterans Day, Michael.
And I don't observe. I don't observe. I don't know if
you're a veteran, man. I don't know if you have the option. It's still Veterans Day.
Well, to me, veteran is a veteran of a foreign war. I'm just saying it means more when you've served in a foreign theater. Means more. I don't really think of myself through the prism of being a veteran first and foremost. I mean, sure, I showed all the courage of a veteran, but I was never called upon to serve my country in that sort of way.
Yeah.
So I try to serve it each and every day here on the radio with you, Dom. Do my public service as well,
You're serving it, man.
Oh, I serve something each and every day here. yesterday, I got to tell you, I got invited to do a little public speaking, and I was very happy to oblige because it was right across the street from my house.
Nice.
Shortest trip I've ever had to take to give a speech. And to hear the fine speechifying, and a lot of electeds there. This event was the Dane Democrats through the Middleton Democrats that are sort of a subset, I guess. They don't want to have a bank account or deal with money. So the Dane Dems do the money stuff, but the Middleton Dems, you know, very active. Lots of community organizing they do. Sure. And they had a nice room full, 30-plus people in the room, and my congressman was there, our buddy Mark Pocan. You know, he does magic. He did a magic trick last night. Very compelling. He said, I got to do a magic trick. And I was just talking to David Copperfield, and he challenged me. And David Copperfield said, well, take some video and send me the tape, and I'll give you some pointers. And Mark said, you know, as a magic geek, you know, David Copperfield speaking to me is a big deal.
Right, fanboy.
So he said, will you guys indulge me? Can I do a magic trick? So it was a pretty encompassing. It took five volunteers from the audience, and he read their minds. Effectively, he found the tell of each and every one. And it was pretty impressive. I was pleased. My congressman can entertain a crowd. Hell, he did a great job. Diane Hesselbein, our senator, she mentioned the Brewer Stadium deal's in play, man. They're still fighting for votes. So we'll find out as soon as what, tomorrow? Whether or not they have the votes to keep the Brewers here. Now, the session's not over till like February, March. So it could drag on beyond this week, but they were quite hopeful to have a negotiated deal. Diane Hesselbein told the crowd assembled last night, about 4 to 6, her phone was blowing up. People seeking her vote or trying to get input or whatever the case may be. Alex Joris was there. Mayor Emily Kuhn from Middleton. I like to see our mayor. I took a little selfie with her. I like her. And those were the good times, Dom. Because I got to go give my campaign speech. And, you know, I'm just basically out there stump speeching on radio.
Right.
What it is we do around here. What it is our mission is. What it is we're trying to accomplish in life. At least through my prism, through my perspective. Because this is a bigger endeavor than Crudy. You know, even this show is more than Crudy. It's Crudy and Nate and sometimes Dom.
Yeah.
And the audience has some say in what we do around here as well. But the greater mission, what are we trying to accomplish around here, Dom? And, you know, we're trying really hard to be thoughtful as an organization, as individuals. You know, I care about this a lot, man. This has been my mission for a decade or more. Why? I don't know. But I care a hell of a lot about the politics in my backyard and in my nation. And maybe it's the fact, as you said, Dom, it was being the petri dish for all the malfeasant governance in the nation here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, it continues to happen.
It almost all started here. You know, you always think that all the cool stuff starts out on the coast and it, you know, flows inward. No, man. No, Wisconsin was a petri dish for politics and judicial appointees and money in politics, et cetera, long before I ever was aware of it.
And what Scott Walker say, Occupy didn't start on Wall Street, it started on my street. Of course, the uprising here in the state of Wisconsin, about a block away, 100,000?
About right.
So, went and saw these good Dems yesterday, and I said, hey, I'm in it with you. And when it's time.
Are you with me?
No, it wasn't quite like that. But I actually, let me retell the story, Dom. I told the story last night. You missed it. Probably home drinking tequila or something. Sunday night, what? That's probably a tradition.
I mean, it was Sunday night football.
Naked tequila drinking, something like that. So I tell the story of Mary Burke. And you recall Mary Burke, fine candidate for governor of the state of Wisconsin. And she went up against Scott Walker. And Scott Walker's he's a known liar. He's not afraid to lie. And, of course, he was gearing up for a presidential run. He desperately wanted to run for president. But before he could do that, he had to beat Mary Burke. And Mary Burke had this crazy accusation thrown at her campaign, plagiarism. And for those that have long since forgotten the details, it was one of her campaign staffers that apparently had done other consulting work for some other campaign and had utilized some of the very same verbiage, his own verbiage, right, on somebody else's campaign website. And the accusation was leveled at Mary Burke. Did you plagiarize? And Mary's response was insufficient. You know, she got put in front of a gaggle of press and didn't answer the question properly. And of course, they used that look on campaign ads. They beat her over the head. And within about a week, I think Mary went from roughly tied in the race with Walker to down 7. And that was around September 19th, I recall, because it was Mrs. Crudy's birthday and we were out of state. We were traveling. I was taking her on a well-deserved vacation. I think a legal marijuana state, if I recall, but that's a whole different story, Dom. But Joseph Pecky, our friend, was then Mary's campaign chair or her communications chair, called Crudy on his cell phone. Mary would very much like to be on the show today. We need her on the show today. She needs a platform to explain herself today. It's important. I said, can't do it today, Joe. Won't be back till like Tuesday. And I always felt like, you know, somehow Dom let Mary Burke down. No, like we did.
I didn't get the phone call, man. Hey, you. Okay, we.
Well, you didn't do a show without me and give Mary Bird a platform that day. But I mean, literally at that time, Dom, when we started, we were the only guys seemingly doing local radio that cared about something other than the right-wing conservative perspective. And Mary did not win, as you'll recall, the accusations of plagiarism too much. But as I told the fine Dems assembled, the Dane County Dems, the Middleton Dems, it was my thought that part of the construction of civic media was to create a rapid response mechanism to be able to get important messages out there, not just in one market. I mean, hell, right-wing talk radio, 81 stations in the state of Wisconsin. Well, we don't have 81 stations, but we have 10, 11 markets that we're playing out right now just in the state of Wisconsin. All the important ones, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Northwoods, Outmarket Minneapolis, Western Wisconsin, La Crosse, Richland Center, Eau Claire. We're playing in all these important markets. And we could provide a platform. And it's not just us. It's us and all the fine civic media products. So in my mind, we're here for you. We're here to stand with the Democrats. But, you know, I'm only one guy on the staff here. It's a lot of other people. Some of them are not even Democrats. Don't tell anyone. So for me to cast my mission upon the whole station, the whole network, it's, you know, perhaps being over-conflating, Don. But then, you know, I start hearing the transcripts of the Donald Trump speech. And, you know, as a mission here at Civic Media, we would try to find common ground with the middle, not just the left. I mean, we don't want to be a get-out-the-vote mechanism purely for the Democratic Party. We want everyone to be civically engaged around here. And so when I say the mission is to turn out the blue team, from my point of view, that's what I try to accomplish. I never hide that I'm advocating a certain point of view here on the radio. Hope I'm not hiding. I'm not doing it right then. Because I'm telling you, one team's pro-democracy, small d, and currently the other team's anti-democracy. And in fact, it's starting to bleed right into fascism, Dom. And it's hard to try and find common ground with fascists or those that would choose to use the very vocabulary used by Hitler and the Nazis, man. And I know, first one to throw Hitler's name out there loses, right? That's the argument. Should never talk about that. But when Trump does it, how do we ignore the insightful language the man's using? In defending, today, defending Dom. And I got to tell you, as a veteran, I never had to go to a foreign country, but I did swear an oath to the Constitution. I was willing to go give my life, if necessary, for my country, man. I was a combat veteran. Combat medic. Never a veteran by my definition. But I got to tell you, man, it starts getting kind of blurry what the mission is. If I'm not supposed to offend those that support this man, how do I do that? How do I find common ground with those that would support a fascist in real time? I struggle with this concept, Tom. Maybe I should think harder. I need your advice. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocate.
Where was he? Where could that man be? We looked around and then we found.
Back to the 420 break. We are the Devil's Advocates. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Thank you, Nate, for allowing me a little bit of pleasure today.
Do you find this pleasurable? Is this how you make yourself happy, Dom?
The producers, man, this is one of the greatest of all times. The Broadway play, of course, the movie as well. And unfortunately, seemingly a very appropriate theme song for these days.
Yeah, it's hard to lighten up the fascist undertones of the Trump Veterans Day speech, Tom. And he used a lot of the language, parroted the language of Adolf Hitler. One must assume he did so with some prior forethought, maybe a little Stephen Miller coaching.
Well, I'm going to guarantee you there was a written speech. This isn't just us, right? This is Forbes.com. Not your woke liberal rag per se. Here's what they said. And it's been now reported in Washington Post and others. You can find it all over because, of course, it's very newsworthy. Forbes says, Trump compares political foes to vermin, quote unquote, on Veterans Day, echoing Nazi propaganda. So that's just not Dom and Crute. That's Forbes. Many other, I guess, the press, well, we know what Trump thinks about the press. He's been telling us since we started seeing him in his rallies. Enemy of the people. Again, a throwback to the old days, man, for the old fascists, to the black and white, when you think that would never happen. Man, our boy Haas, I hate to say it, man, he's starting to sound about right these days. But the question remains, how do we address and have this conversation in a civil manner, but, you know, not take a seat at the table with fascists. You know what I'm saying? If you're sitting down at a dinner table with 10 fascists, that table has 11 fascists. That's what I'm saying. So it's a challenge, certainly. And I wonder how many people who are the self-described Trump Davidians, if you're on that level, and this is, again, Steve Bannon, Trump supporter, that's how they self-describe. If you're one of those and you think that what you're hearing from Donald Trump referring to his political foes as Nazis is something that inspires you, I think you need to check yourself. We have the sound. Let's hear it. Here's Trump. I guess it was on Saturday in New Hampshire. Play it for the people, please, Nate.
In honor of our great veterans on Veterans Day, we pledge to you that we will root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, that lie and steal and cheat on elections, and will do anything possible. They'll do anything, whether legally or illegally, to destroy America and to destroy the American dream.
Even the Trump Davidians were not quite clear if that was an applause line.
That's one thing I noted
here.
It's not like it was, you know, roundly received. You know what I mean? And that's at least some positive that I take out of this. But that incendiary remark, according to Forbes, invokes a term frequently used by Nazis to dehumanize Jews, including a 1939 quote attributed to Hitler, quote, "This vermin must be destroyed," unquote. So That's the story. That's the fact. Now, are those Trump Davidians, those that would believe this is a great thing, do they know the history from, you know, 1939? That's a long time ago, man. I don't know, but I think it's relevant. I think we need to tell them this is what happens. This is how it works. This is how they talk. We've already seen the violence of January 6th, and now what? They're coming to Milwaukee next year for the RNC. That'll be great. So, but this is the talk of their leader, man. This guy leads in the polls. And I think it's incumbent upon everybody in the media to crack to everyone who's in that party, who's supportive of Trump and MAGA. Are you down with this rhetoric? Are you down with this language? Do you support talking like this?
Well, they defend it. The Trump campaign does. Here is what they said today, Dom. You know, with 48 hours to, you know, ruminate upon it. A Trump campaign spokesman defended the former president's use of the word vermin to describe his political enemies, calling critics snowflakes whose entire existence will be crushed if Trump wins in 2024. More from Axios, my source, why it matters. Some historians have compared Trump's dehumanizing language, including his claim that undocumented immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country, to the rhetoric of fascist dictators like Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. Here's a few of the reactions, Dom. To call your opponents vermin to dehumanize them is not only open, is to not only open the door, but to walk through the door towards the most ghastly kinds of crimes, according to presidential historian John Meacham. Here's others. Those who try to make this ridiculous assertion are clearly snowflakes grasping for anything because they're suffering from Trump derangement syndrome and their entire existence will be crushed when President Trump returns to the White House. Well, that's what Stephen Chung said to the Washington Post. And Chung later said he was referencing their sad, miserable existence instead of their entire existence. Well, thanks for that clarification.
Right. I don't really see a clarification there, a distinction without a difference.
And perhaps. Just in case one would question whether or not this was off the cuff, in a Veterans Day speech in New Hampshire on Saturday, Trump vowed to root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country and lie and steal and cheat on elections. And then he posted the same message on Truth Social. So there was forethought. They meant to do this. This was scripted. They chose this language carefully, including the word vermin on the Truthy Social, Dom, often used by Hitler and Mussolini to denigrate Jews and their political enemies. Trump went on to say that the threat from outside forces is far less sinister, dangerous, and grave than the threat from within. The threat from within our country, from guys like you and I, Dom, who would take some objection to, you know, the open pondering of fascism here, an autocratic rule, but that is being openly considered by a large majority of the Trump followers. Them, you know, they're currently finding loyalists. They're lining them up for the next Trump term. Didn't find the right kind of loyalists last time. You know, too many coffee boys. This time, they're going straight to the Nazi youth. Got to find the right kind of followers. Any thoughts, Dom? I don't mean to be hyperbolic here. It just seems appropriate somehow.
It is. We can back up every word we are saying with reporting. We can back it up with audio evidence of what the president has said. We can back it up and look at the tapes of what he has encouraged on January 6th and words and actions and language that he has used throughout his political and professional career. There is a trend line. And this is a guy who's facing all sorts of pressure right now. All sorts of pressure. The walls are closing in. He's getting more and more hyperbolic. He's getting more and more violent speaking. He's getting more and more dangerous. And he's trying to bring the crew with him. He's trying to drum them up. But there is some hope. It wasn't a roaring applause when he referred to rooting out the quote-unquote vermin from the Trumpsters.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News brief, a deal may be in the works for the release of some of the hostages being held by Hamas. CBS's Deborah Pata is in East Jerusalem.
We've seen this new situation floated by Hamas that they may release 70 women and children in exchange for a five-day truce. But where exactly those negotiations are at present is difficult to know.
It looks like Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is a no on more aid for Ukraine.
Americans are dying every single day, but all we hear about is send money to Ukraine and send money to this.
Government funding runs out on Friday. On Monday Night Football, Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin took to the field against the Denver Broncos. He nearly died after going into cardiac arrest before being resuscitated in a game against Cincinnati in January.
And DeMar Hamlin with the tackle.
Joe Buck with the call on ESPN. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap. This is 93.5. The Tap.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders with the Universities of Wisconsin are urging lawmakers to release $32 million. They released a plan last week to bolster degree programs to prepare graduates for key jobs, but Republicans still want cuts to diversity offices. UW System President Jay Rothman says a deal's a deal.
We're taking the legislature at their word. They said this was focused on workforce development, and I think everyone in the state of Wisconsin can look at this and say, this is good for our state.
That's Rothman on Capital City Sunday on Channel 27 in Madison. A former Milwaukee police officer is acquitted of homicide charges. A Milwaukee jury on Friday found former officer Michael Mattioli not guilty in the 2020 death of Joel Acevedo. Mattioli says he was only trying to control Acevedo with a chokehold after a fight. He says he acted in self-defense. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own?
It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got four in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media
app. Meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here in the overnight. Light south winds and temperatures down around 34 degrees at daybreak. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine, though, working in on Tuesday. That south breeze up around 35, the high 60. Cooler on Wednesday, sunny and up to 58. Currently 26 degrees.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5, The Tap.
I hate Illinois Nazis.
the devil's advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Big Bundy edition. Back to work, Dom. Trying to chase back fascism any way we can.
It's not an easy job, but somebody has to do it.
Do you see that Donald Trump's sister died? The former federal judge, Marianne Trump Berry, here is what she said of her brother on a recording by Mary Trump. But here's what Marianne Trump Berry said of her brother in 2018. All he wants to do is appeal to his base. He has no principles. None. None. Again, this is his sister. And his base, I mean, my God, if they were a religious person, you want to help people, not do this. She allegedly said in a recording, she was talking about the administration's so-called zero tolerance policy at the U.S.-Mexico border. You know, the one that Brian Stile and Ron Johnson would like to see reinstated. You know, as Christ would have it, Dom. During her legal career, Berry worked as a federal prosecutor before being nominated by Ronnie Reagan to the federal district court in New Jersey in 1983. I thought she had to leave that position, Dom, effectively because of some federal financial disclosures that seemingly were used for the Pulitzer Prize-winning 2016 journalism that said Donald Trump was a big fat tax cheat. And, you know, we'll see. We haven't seen a verdict. I think Don Jr.'s in court today, is he not?
Donald Trump, I believe he said he'll release his tax returns as soon as the audit is done. And his replacement for Obamacare will be out in 2 weeks.
When's the fascism kick in? 844.
It's a slow drip, man. That's how it works.
967-2789. Jack from Merrimack, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Well, first of all, great choice of music, the little tune from Mel Brooks, the producer. Mel Brooks, probably one of the most brilliant producers of comedic movies that we've ever seen.
Yes.
What's really concerning about this whole thing is a little thing called Project 2025. And some of the proposals in that project are, if the Republicans ever get back into power again, institution of the Insurrection Act, which I believe includes essentially using the military as Trump's personal police force in civilian matters, going after everybody that's ever been against Trump, essentially. I mean, turning over the entire civil service for Trump loyalists and similar people. I mean, it just goes on and on. You talk about a proposal for a fascist authoritarian dictatorship. You got one right there. And not enough people know about this, unfortunately. If you start reading some of the stuff that they're proposing, I'm sure you guys have, it just chills my blood to think about this.
Jack, wasn't it Maya Angelou that said, you know, if somebody shows you their true colors, believe them? I mean, he's out there not just saying it, but then following it up with a social media post. They mean to talk in these fascist terms. Trump means to do this, Jack. He's trying to inspire, you know, I don't know. You tell me, who's he trying to inspire?
Oh, I sure don't know. The cultists, of course, he doesn't have to, because no matter what he says, they'll be with him. And that's a huge number of people, possibly as many as a third of the voters. That's, for one thing, that's, I can't believe there's that many crazy people.
Well, I would say a third of the Republican voters, Jack, and hopefully that's a diminishing data set.
I'm less clear if it's not somewhere north of 35% of all voters. All voters. Not
of all voters.
Still support Trump. Clearly. I mean, the guy's up 40 points on DeSantis in Florida right now.
Well, again, yes. we're being a different world next year. But let me throw this out there. Per Jack, there was an article, I don't think we got to it last week, the Washington Post, Trump and allies plot revenge, Justice Department control in second term. And here is a couple of paragraphs. Dubbed Project 2025, the group is developing a plan to include draft executive orders that would deploy the military domestically under the Insurrection Act, according to a person involved and interviewed by the Washington Post. That law, last updated in 1871, authorizes the president to deploy the military for domestic law enforcement. We did briefly touch on that last week. The proposal was identified in internal discussions as an immediate priority, the communication showed. In the final year of his presidency, some of Trump's supporters urged him to invoke the Insurrection Act to put down unrest after the murder of George Floyd in the summer of 2020, but he never did it. Trump has publicly expressed regret about not deploying more federal force and said he would not hesitate to do so in the future. You know, that combined with what we just heard about the vermin and his quote-unquote Veterans Day speech, along with the history of calling, you know, his followers to raid the Capitol, that happened, and his continued making light of Nancy Pelosi's husband getting almost killed by a hammer by a Trump-supporting break-in.
You know, he does, you talked about the lack of reaction to his calls of his enemies vermin. You know what plays very well for Trump at the rallies? His little Paul Pelosi joke. Oh, Paul Pelosi. I guess the wall didn't work so well for Paul. You know, Nancy had a gate outside her home where, of course, her husband was violently assaulted.
This is a guy leading the Republicans right now, right? Making light of the almost murder of Nancy Pelosi's husband. What, dude? Really? I mean, imagine if he would be like, well, you know, JFK down in Texas, I guess the special service didn't work out very well. You know what I mean? You'd be out of your mind about it. And here it is. It's like, that's great. What a gotcha line, Trump.
844-967-2789. John calling in from Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, John. What do you got for us?
Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Hey, fellas, how's it going? I'm driving. I'm on my way from Madison to Dubuque. I'm sorry I live in Dubuque.
That's okay. Wow. We come down every 4 years for the caucus.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm from Denver, and the house was cheaper there, but I work in Madison. I drive to Madison every day and listen to you guys, but I lose you about Dodgeville.
Should try WRCE. Sure. I bet you could pick us back up on 1450 AM. News from the center, but anyways, please continue, John.
I just switch over to the app when I get to Dodgeville. I was listening to you guys and stuff, and I'm just curious on what you guys would think. So, like, if the orange clown somehow, a bunch of people take a bunch of crazy pills and stuff, and he ends up becoming president again for some crazy reason, but if somehow we manage to take House and Senate, wouldn't that shut him down somewhat, or at least poo-poo on his fascist parade a bit?
John, what you think the co-equal branches are somehow going to be the guardrails around this guy? I mean, remember when Paul Ryan was the speaker and they merged their agendas, and then he retired. He got out of the way. And Mitch McConnell's been there for all of it. Never stopped him, not from doing much. I mean, John, I can't imagine that Donald Trump would somehow feel restrained by a democratically controlled Congress. And I got to tell you, the math in the U.S. Senate is really stacked against the Democrats. I mean, it's going to be very difficult for them to hold any sort of majority in the Senate, especially with the retirement of Joe Manchin.
Well, that's right now, John. I mean, if the head of the ticket on the GOP, Donald Trump, is a convicted felon, by the time that the convention rolls around, that will change the math, I would imagine.
You would like to think, John, but we don't know.
That would be fantastic. All right, cool. All right, guys. Well, I'll keep driving and listening. I just wanted to say hi.
Appreciate it, John. Be safe out there. 844-967-2789. Someone asked me today, or maybe I made a statement. They asked me a follow-up question. We've been doing this like 12 years, Dom, and we know that the former president, we've been in the rallies. We've been to at least a dozen Trump rallies, usually targeted at some point during the night as press. Enemies of the people, he often called us, right? Shook a fist.
Yes. Yes. And they all turn around and look at us.
And I know more than once, Dan, we've probably returned with like a middle finger salute. But, you know, seriously, I think Donald Trump, if he could, and we were somewhere on his radar, and I got to think someone here in the state of Wisconsin knows who we are. I got to think we're on his enemies list.
You know, if you're the fascist, everyone's on the enemies list, man, especially if you're a narcissist like Donald Trump. That's the big secret, quote unquote. You know, even those that support him, they'll get by him. They'll be the first ones painted out of the photos, you know, in 30 years. You know what I'm saying?
I'm less concerned about the photos and more concerned about the lone wolves inspired by a guy like Trump. I guess my question is, you know, is there a concern? Do you ever concern yourself? Let's say Trump wins or... Crazier yet, Don, Trump loses. Do you think that all of his followers, because you know he's going to be out there complaining he was prosecuted, he would have won except for the persecution and the prosecution.
Yeah, let's assume it gets worse from here as the walls close in, as the paranoia. I mean, the guy called former President Barack Obama, referred to him twice as the current president. So there might be some mind things. Either way, whether it's just the stress or there's something more going on with the former president, there is a lot of pressure right now.
Well, I'm less, again, Donald Trump, I'm less concerned about being on his personal radar. I guess I'm asking it now. We're making ourselves something of a, let's just say, public figures here. Lightning rods, if you will.
Again.
Is your opposition to fascism going to lead to your physical harm at some point? You know, we have to worry about some of these guys?
Apparently fascists might have an issue with my opposition to fascism. Sure, that's always the possibility. Sure. But is there always a lone wolf? Absolutely. And we're armed to the teeth in this country, man. So there's lots of terrible things that could happen. But there's also a conversation to be had. There's also convictions to be won. There's also another year out. There's also, hey, teaching of the history, explaining to folks what this means. Why is it important? Why do you got to pay attention? You know, Donald Trump will continue to get worse. His speeches will become more violent than they are now. I believe this because that pressure is really, really going to get to him. And when you realize that he's going to be facing the rest of his life in jail, man, you know, what has he got to lose at this point, right? What do you got to lose, Donald Trump? He hasn't really, really been held account for any of the things that he's already done. So why would he stop being what he is obviously morphed into? If he wasn't this to start with, he's certainly it now.
Lisa from Racine County. Welcome, Lisa. What do you got for us?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to say, I'm, as a woman who is 50 years old, that wouldn't really offer too much to the Republican Party since I'm not in age of making babies. I'm scared if he gets back in, fascist isn't even it. He's worse than that. He's the worst we've ever seen, ever. And as a woman in this country, I am terrified that everything that I've worked for, my home, my business, my career, will be stripped away. And they will get that MAGA back because the year I was born, you had to have co-signers for credit cards. So... is that what we're going back to for women? I don't know. I'm scared, and I'm very scared of the women that are out there and how they're going
to
vote.
Lisa, are you inspired to vote? And are your neighbors and friends, and are you telling people to vote?
Oh, I do. I do. I do tell people to vote. I tell, you know, every woman that I know, I take my daughter to the polls every year. I've always voted. I'm not just the past 6 years I have paid attention. I sat in line when the first time I could vote was with Clinton, and I have voted since. And in all party lines, but I've never in my life witnessed something that we have witnessed in the last couple years. And if people aren't paying attention, they are going to be in for a rude awakening. And my voice is shaking because...
Gotta let you go. So sorry, Lisa.
93.5 The Tap. Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are advocating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
I wanna be bad.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back before listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, taking your calls 844-967-2789. I know we played Donald Trump in his Veterans Day speech. Callers, be patient. I want to throw this one out there as well. The current president also gave a speech on Veterans Day. And if you missed any of the program, you know, you can go get the app from Civic Media. You can go to the website. You can listen to it. I'm sure it's out there everywhere, but I think we need to give fair play to what the current president said versus what the former president said. Let's just play.
Current guy is Biden, right?
Yes, the current guy. The current guy, President Joe Biden, actually honoring veterans. Play and please, Nate.
Come together today to once again honor the generations of Americans who stood on the front lines of freedom.
Next one, please.
For throughout the annals of history, whenever and wherever the force of darkness has sought to extinguish the light of liberty, American veterans have been holding the lantern as high as they can for all of us.
And finally, President Biden on Veterans Day.
To all those who are grieving the loss of a loved one who wore the uniform, to all those with loved ones still missing or unaccounted for, I want to say to you, we see you, we stand with you, and we will not forget.
A slightly different tone than former President Donald Trump, don't you think?
I do think. Dom, my understanding, I believe, and maybe I'm confusing the events, but I believe one of the veterans fell during the course of the event, and Joe Biden said something quickly to the effect, I want the press to take note, that was not me. Nice. I thought it was clever. It was quick-witted, yeah. If you know what I'm saying.
But seriously, compare and contrast what we just heard the empathetic current president say versus what Trump said. We pledge to you on Veterans Day, we will root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, that lie and steal and cheat on elections. Oh, happy Veterans Day.
844-967-2789. Ross from Crawford County. Welcome, Ross.
Hi, Ross.
Hey guys. Thanks for your great show. It's always insightful. That President Biden's speech does not sound like a guy that's too old. You know, I mean, he makes a crack about he's not the one who fell down, but he doesn't. I know people are so critical about it because they think he's too old. That's their biggest criticism. That didn't sound like it. The thing I kind of wanted to mention was, you know, Recruiter, you said before, like, we have to be sort of careful if we drop the Hitler bomb in a conversation. But I feel like with this MAGA crowd, and when I think MAGA, I hate this, I'm dropping the Nazi bomb. These are not people that you, like, reason with. These aren't, like, when, like, for example, there's a guy out there named CJ. I think you've heard of him. He's not a guy that you have a conversation with. He just, if you talk to him about a subject, he just starts throwing stuff at you. And this is how the current MAGA crowd is. There is no conversation. So I think a lot of us come from a tradition of, like, wanting to debate or wanting to, you know, have conversations. These people don't converse. So the way my feeling is I'm going to start using the word Nazi, and I'm not going to be having a conversation. I'm just going to honestly look at the guy and cut the conversation off, because 9 times out of 10, they don't want a conversation.
Ross, remember when Barack Obama said, how hard is it to say Nazis are bad?
It's not hard.
But I, Ross, let me encourage a different thought. When you say Nazi, when you call someone a Nazi, conversation over, right? Probably going to get punched in the nose by some.
Right, but I wouldn't call him a Nazi. I would refer to MAGAs and Trump, and I would refer to them. You're right. I would never, because I never really know the person who's standing in front of me. I don't really know. They may have a feel for them. Sometimes, you know, they're family members, and I know they're not, quote, Nazis. But I think it's okay to refer to MAGAs and Trump as Nazi. You'll get this person fired up and steamed up. I don't think he'll throw a blow, but I hear what you're
saying.
Let
me ask you the flip side of that. What about those that, you know, back in 2016, they voted for Trump once. You know, Hillary was unappealing to them or whatever their rationale or reason. Do we have any grace for those that voted for Trump once, that if we call Trump-loving, MAGA-loving people Nazis, even to this day, some are going to say, hey, I'm not a Nazi. I'm not racist. I don't know a single Republican that's ever grabbed that mantle and said, I'm a Nazi. I'm racist. No one ever perceives themselves in that fashion, Ross. They all think they're good guys.
Not even the Yeah, exactly. But I think that's why some of us feel impelled to start using the word, because I'm afraid if we don't, these people are going to think that it's just another presidency, that it's just us having a hothead. I think that, I guess in some ways, you know, it's very possible that Trump might just be like John the Baptist. He might just be the ones that come after Trump could be like even worse. But I think in the moment, we can think of him and these MAGAs as Nazis, based upon the way that they're thinking, based upon this 225 thing, based upon the insurrection, based upon all this sort of stuff. I think it's okay at this point to say it, and at least we said it, and we're going to probably have to back it up, because you don't want to be like, I mean, I wouldn't want to be like all spit coming out of my mouth and all hot-headed and stuff. I think it has to be sort of a kind of a cool-headed, kind of like, this is how I feel, and you can think that I'm the crazy one. You know, I mean, you could, but I guess that there's no really conversing with these people. These people are not interested in conversation. These people are Old Testament Christians. They already know what's right and wrong. These people, they are not interested. They only want what they want. And so my feeling is you have to call them out on it, and we'll see how the cards play.
Ross, putting the fear of an Old Testament God in them.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Nazi is such a very specific term, and it's not just the fascism. I think fascist is fine. Fascist light, perhaps. You know, we've talked in those terms sometimes. We can certainly reference Donald Trump's speech as being very Nazi-ish.
Is that like a watered-down version of your favorite fascism?
By Hitler. But the Nazis also killed millions and millions and millions of Jews and other people. You know what I mean? So regardless of how fascist we believe them to be, the MAGAs haven't done that.
Is that a matter of timing, Dom?
It's a period, dot, dot, dot.
They have not done that. Come back with us. We have not done that, which is a happier happy hour. And I feel quite positive it will be happy up in here. Because I can say it, Dom. Nazis are bad.
How hard can that be, saying that Nazis are bad?
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
The Todd Almost Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.